Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Lockhart Perspective. Today we are looking at recalls and more, some of the recalls that we probably didn't even know were going around and probably some that we did. We're going to take a look and a deep dive into it. And the question that I always ask whenever I do any of these is, how did they not know this? How did they go along without being able to have these detected? And how come we have to find out by way of a hidden document or a hidden, what do you call them? Article. Yeah, a hidden article. That's exactly what I want to talk about. So what we're going to look at right now is something that possibly a lot of men did not know. And so we're just going to get right into it. The FDA warns about honey products that have contained a very hidden ingredient. The FDA laboratory analysis confirmed that Wonderful Honey contains sildenafil. And apparently, sildenafil is the active ingredient that's found in the FDA-approved prescription drug Viagra, and it's used to treat erectile dysfunction. The FDA approval of Viagra is restricted to use under the supervision of a licensed healthcare professional. Now, the FDA has called the recall. They've issued the recall warning about the product, and this undeclared ingredient may interact with nitrates that are found in some prescription drugs, such as nitroglycerin. Now, this may help lower blood pressure to very dangerous levels. People who have diabetes or people who have high blood pressure or high cholesterol or heart disease often take nitrates. Healthcare professionals and consumers should report any adverse events or side effects related to the use of the products to the FDA's MedWatch Safety Information and Adverse Event Reporting Program. Complete and submit the report online to MedWatch online. And there's a voluntary reporting form. So you fill that out, download it, fill it out, send it into them so that they can add your name to the list of people who may have been injured by the likes of this stuff. Very terrible. It's very awful. But here's the thing I fear. They already know the stuff is here. They already know these things are going on. And yet, this is what happens. So that's the first product. And that's a very dangerous thing. Because if you're taking this and you don't know that it has it in there, could cause a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. A lot of problems. One other thing that kids like as well as some adults is Skittles. Now, did you know that they are toxic, according to a United States lawsuit? So a lawsuit here in the U.S., Mars Incorporated has been sued by a consumer who claims that Skittles candies are unfit to eat because they contain a known toxin that the company had pledged 6 years ago to phase out. In a proposed class action filed on Thursday in Oakland, California, federal court, Daniil Thames accused Mars of endangering unsuspected Skittle eaters by using heightened levels of titanium dioxide. Did you know that? Or TiO2 as a food additive. The lawsuit also said that titanium dioxide will be banned in the European Union next month after the food and safety regulator there deemed it unsafe because of the genotoxicity or the ability to change the DNA. Help here. It has the ability to change the DNA. A reasonable consumer would expect that Skittles can be safely purchased and consumed as marketed and sold, the complaint said. However, the products are not safe. The lawsuit seeks unspecified damages for fraud and violations of California consumer protection laws. Now, California usually has some of the strictest laws around. Generally, they do. Generally. I don't know what's going on, though. I don't know. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to look at more. Look at more. Yes, we will.
If you're gonna do it,
better do it now. That's Joel 3 by none other than Ronnie Mann. So as we're looking at this, we're seeing that the Skittles are not good. Now, we've all said that candies weren't good, but however, this says that a reasonable consumer would expect that Skittles can be safely purchased and consumed as marketed and sold. However, the products are not safe. Who knew? Who knew? And I know somebody's going to have the smart mouth to say, well, they're not, it's not fruits, it's not vegetables. But that's not the point. You're literally selling pellets of death, and you didn't say, hey, did you know that this is in here? Did you know that you can't eat that? Yeah. Anyway, let's go ahead and continue. Mars did not immediately respond on Friday to requests for comment. The McLean, Virginia-based company, which is private and had pledged in February of 2016 to remove the artificial colors from its foods products over the next 5 years. In October of 2016, it confirmed that titanium oxide was among the colorants being removed, according to the nonprofit Center for Food Safety, citing an email from Mars. According to the lawsuit, titanium oxide is used in paint, adhesives, plastics, and roofing materials, and can cause DNA, brain, and organ damage. Well, we just saw at the top of this, it just said that it had the ability to change the DNA, as well as lesions in the liver and kidneys. Towns de San Laredo, California, said that he bought Skittles at a local Quick Stop in April and would not have done so had he known the contents. I will never buy any more for my grandkids or myself, because sometimes I'll get them for them and then I'll nibble off of a few of them. And how many times have you gone to a store and just grabbed a bag really quickly because you like the fruity flavor? That fruity flavor is killing you. Or according to this article, at least it has the potential to do so. Well, it goes on to say that he said checking the label would not have helped him because the ingredients on the Skittle bright red package are hard to read. In the case with Thams or Tams versus Mars, the United States District Court, Northern District Division, number 2204145. That is the case number. So if you want to look it up, just to see if it's all correct, the case number is, again, out of the Northern District, California District Court, 2204145. Who knew? Who knew? Skittles, toxic, can change the DNA. Oh, wow. Okay. Now, we've got some folks that have the honey product, and the honey product has the sildenafil in it, which is the government approval name for Viagra. Now we're going to look at a few pig hearts. You guys remember a few months ago, we covered the story dealing with the 56-year-old or 57-year-old man who had terminal heart disease, and they had put a pig's heart in him. If you remember the story, the issue was they were going to put the heart in him, but they were not going to give him a human heart. Instead, they gave him the option of the pig heart because, according to them, the doctors, early on in determining whether or not he'd be a viable recipient, they said that he didn't keep the appointments and that he refused to be vaccinated and a few other things. And so when it came time for them to give him the option to get this heart, he felt like, well, if it'll give me a few more months with my family, I'll go ahead and allow myself to be used as a quote-unquote, and I'm using this term, guinea pig. Well, two pig heart transplants succeed in brain-dead recipients. So apparently they're using the brain-dead recipients as heart recipients. They're using the brain-dead patients as heart recipients. So I guess maybe they signed up for it, a parent, a family signed up, I don't know. But anyway, it says that surgeons at the New York University have successfully transplanted genetically engineered pig hearts into two brain-dead people, researchers said on Tuesday, moving a step closer to a long-term goal of using pig parts to address the shortage of human organs for transfunction. Normally, with no signs of rejection during the three-day experiments in June and July, and they said at a news conference that they were successful with this. Now, the experiments followed the death of the gentleman that I just mentioned to you, and that is the 57-year-old man that had terminal heart disease, who made history 2 months earlier at the University of Maryland as the first person to receive a genetically modified pig heart. The reasons why his new heart eventually failed is still unclear. NYU procured the hearts from pigs engineered by Revivicor Incorporated and screen them for viruses using an enhanced monitoring protocol. The researchers said that the hearts showed no evidence of a pig virus called porcine. So that's the those porcine endogenous pigs. I think that's what it's talking about. The cytomegalovirus that was detected in the blood of the Maryland man and may have contributed to his death. So that's what was in it. They say that might have contributed. It's not the fact that it was a pig's heart put in a man's body, but it was the fact that there could have been a virus. You're not even supposed to, biblically, you're not even supposed to mix materials. Did you know that? So now we're mixing one species with another species. Meanwhile, they've got everybody running around arguing and acting ignorant over whether or not the definition of a woman should be disclosed. You've got dodos literally sitting around arguing about whether or not they should disclose what a woman is. Meanwhile, men traipsing around in dresses, and this is happening inside of hospitals. Two brain-dead individuals received pig's heart. The pigs had four genetic modifications to prevent rejection and abnormal organ growth, and six to help prevent incompatibilities between the pigs and humans. The NYU researchers also transplanted pig kidneys into two brain-dead recipients in 2021. For now, they believe the xenotransplantation is safer in brain-dead recipients than in the living patients. Okay, so is that what you're doing? You're combing hospitals and local places to find out who's brain dead so that you can then run your tests on them? And what good does it do anybody if you're going to say that it's greater on the brain dead folks? Okay, so what are you doing? You're just sitting around being Dr. Frankenstein, making all kinds of monsters? What is it that you're really doing? What is the point? It says for now, they believe that xenotransplantation is safer in brain dead recipients than in living patients, and also more informative because biopsies can be done more often. So they can just sit there and pull off the poor person that's sitting there. This is just a twisted, twisted place we're in now. And you know, I know a lot of people crack up laughing when I say this, but I truly and honestly do believe that we have bumped up against another timeline somewhere, because this right here is the stuff that Dr. Strange is made up of. This is like Animal Farm. Every bit of it is just crazy. And did any of us see this craziness coming? Xenotransplantation is safer in brain-dead recipients than in living patients, and also more informative because biopsies can be done more often. More frequent testing provides tremendous detail, said Dr. Robert Montgomery, the director of NYU Langone Transplant Institute, and a recipient of a heart transplant at NYU, but he wasn't a recipient of a porcine endogenous pig's heart. He goes on to say, quote, "We were able in real time to capture everything that was going on during the 72-hour period," he said, "the procurement, the transport, the transplant surgery, and the immunosuppression were all performed the same way as in typical human transplants," the researcher said. They continue with, quote, "Our goal is to integrate the practices and used in a typical everyday heart transplant, typical everyday heart transplant, only with non-human organs that will function normally without additional aid from untested devices or medicines." This comes from Dr. Nader Moazami, the surgical director of heart transplants at NYU, heart transplantation. The 72-hour experiments produced preliminary data, leaving many questions to be answered before human pig heart trials. This is amazing. The whole darn thing is amazing. Caller from 314-677. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. What would you like to add?
You know, this is a good story you got going on here today, Felicia.
Thank you, Bianchi.
Let me tell you something. Anything that comes out of New York, well, you have to be highly susceptible of it. Looking at the legislation that falls out of this state legislature and the topics and how they try to go around, like, for instance, the Second Amendment, man, they try every angle that they possibly can. Angle that got knocked down, struck down by the courts, here they come back again. But this thing that you see nowadays is where they want to kill the real, for real baby. They don't want it to live, but they want you to live with animal parts. What the hell's going on? And see, I'm going to tell you something, Felicia. I heard what you said. But about these Frankensteins, I really already do believe that there are some running around. I really do. Because why would they tell you? See, they always got you expecting something that already has been done. So you will continue to go around and pay no attention as they do the trials and tribulations of what they've already have created. so that you don't rise up against it. That's why they're taking your guns, because you know the ultimate thing that they could do, that you could do to rise up against it, was to start shooting at it. And they don't want that. Especially if you start shooting silver bullets. And you know what silver bullets are associated with when it comes to monsters. So anyway,
I have to agree with you on that. You know, I mean, the first story that we did, I'm not sure if you were in or not, but, you know, the way that I see it is you know, they put these little things out, and then after they put the stuff out, they come out maybe 2 years later and say, oh, I'm sorry, did you know that Skittles can change your DNA? That was one of the stories we did. Another one, so now they've got this whole lawsuit out in California that's dealing with the toxic Skittles that no one knew had a component in it that could change the DNA. And so now, and these are just baseline stories. You know what I mean? These aren't stories that are like major rocket science or any of the other, you know, covers that I've done on things like CERN or, you know, things like Fermilab or, you know, it's nothing heavy. These are things that you deal with every single day. Skittles changes and alters the freaking DNA. the DNA.
Yeah, and who's eating Skittles? It's the kids.
The kids.
Why are they going after the kids?
Because
if they're not going after the kids with the exposure of sexual explicit material that is even for it to be had by adults is sometimes compromising the rights. But now they're doing all these other things. They're making it okay for kids to have these vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really do believe that these so-called COVID vaccinations got something in them.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that. It's a time relief.
I have to agree with you. I will never disagree with that. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, they just released 80,000 pages. And again, I'm getting into the deep stuff that I normally get into, and I don't want to go there, but I am going to tap and touch it just a little bit. So the 80,000 pages that they released showed that they had literally covered up a lot of, without the document in front of me, I'm going to safely say allegedly, a lot of the deaths had been covered up under a different subheading in the documentation that they provided through this FOIA Act. I read that yesterday, and I just thought to myself, gee whiz, can we get no more corrupt than this? They, first of all, used a lot of trickery and a lot of words to fool people into just getting this thing. They didn't let people know that it was a, you know, clinical trial. And now yet in the documentation that you see dealing with the 80,000 pages that was released just recently, it's all throughout the document. All it says is participants in the trial, participants. And I'm sitting here like, oh my goodness, here they know that it was, they know that these are participants. They know that this was a trial, but they never, ever, ever publicized that to the public. And so to me, it's like all of the lies. And then we were running around telling family members, don't do it. It's a clinical trial. It's all a farce. Don't believe it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to. Now you're coming up on 2023. They kept enough hubbub going on about it. So now we're coming up on 2023, close of that year. 2023, they will have already started to produce and give up some of the findings. And according to the documentation that was on the website that dealt with the clinical trial, they state that the majority of all of their findings should be submitted and finished at the end of 23, top of 2024. So that way then they can go ahead and push forward. I would not be surprised if this stuff did not create super human strength in the survivors because of the amount of people that have died. My question is, of the ones who are living, why? Because there have been so many who inspired by this.
I tell you, I didn't take none of that stuff. I tell you, I knew a lot of my activist black clothing, fatigue wearing, tam wearing black nationalists with the glove on, black glove on their right fist. And guess who was standing in line to get their injection?
Yes, indeed. Yes, and then they have
have a newspaper in their hand. When you drive out, they put the newspaper up to the side of their head so you can't recognize them. And I know a couple of them. One of my friends died. I found out he died earlier January last year. Another one had a stroke, which now he's got speech impediment. And another one's got a stroke. So something's going on, as we suspected. But I'm going to let you go on with your program. It's really good that you put this information.
You're fine. This is a short one today. This is a short one today. But if you know anybody and you weren't here at the very beginning of the top of the hour, you might want to tell any of your friends that have had anything to do with what's called wonderful honey. Did you hear that part of the story?
No, I didn't. Is that something that's edible, or is that another shot?
It's something that people can purchase either at one of those little small, like little stores, or they can get it online. But they have found that wonderful honey contains sildenafil, which is the active ingredient in the FDA-approved prescription drug Viagra. So this is inside of this other product. Without the person purchasing it, without their knowledge, it's used to treat, as we all know, erectile dysfunction, and the FDA approval of Viagra was restricted specifically for the supervision and licensed healthcare professionals. However, this undeclared ingredient may interact with nitrates that are found in some of the individual's prescription drugs. So the person doesn't know, and they went to purchase this online, and or they went into one of the stores, they stand the risk of having a conflict with the medication that they're currently on. In other words, there's blood pressure pills. There's even folks that have diabetes and things of that nature that often use nitrates, but the healthcare professionals and the consumers report the adverse effects can be caused when using this wonderful honey that, for whatever reason, got this slipped into it.
That's
nobody
a hell of a
knows.
Name for it, you know. When Viagra first came out, at least what they told me, they had an erection for 2 and 3 and 4 days.
Dangerous.
That stuff is dangerous, man.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Well, this product, you may have seen some of these types of products that are in those little bitty clear bottles, like little slender, like vials almost, at some retail stores. Mm-hmm. Well, this particular product is able to be purchased on websites and possibly in some retail stores. And the product was discovered during an examination of imported goods. So in other words, we had no clue as an American citizenry that this was even in there. People may see that little wonderful honey and not know that it has that in it. And they just may see it listed as, this helps to boost your libido, or this helps to make you feel like, you know, you're really into something. That's the reason why they're pushing it now. But this stuff has already been out there. Can you imagine how many folks have taken this and not known cause of their issue was? This is the type of stuff they get off.
Mm-hmm. They took it because it has an enticing name. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, honey.
It's wonderful, honey. It's just wonderful. Well, So now we see that there's also U.S. deaths that are stemmed or tied to the antibiotic resistant superbugs. These deaths over 2020, in the year 2020 alone, rose up to 15%. And a lot of people didn't know, but there's a lot of stuff that's been unleashed as far as, you know, antibiotic resistant bacteria. So the United States deaths from the bacteria resistance to antibiotics, try to say that three times fast, also known as superbugs, jumped 15% in 2020 as the drugs were widely dispensed to treat the COVID-19 and fight off the bacterial infections during long hospitalizations, enabling the bugs to evolve. A U.S. government report said on Tuesday, hospital-acquired bacterial infections also rose more than 15% in 2020, up from 2019. Now, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention is the one that gave all this information out now. But they didn't give it out last year, but they're giving it to you now. So if you know somebody who was ill or a loved one or even you, You had no clue that it could have been something that you caught from the hospital or something that you could attribute to taking too many of the antibiotics, thereby lowering your ability to fight off the infection because, well, it was now drinking it like it was Kool-Aid. But the CDC said that more than 29,400 people died from antimicrobial resistant infections during the first year of the pandemic. So now my question is, how many of those 29,400 people got marked as a COVID death? Nah, don't worry about me.
You know, it kind of reminds me of smallpox. You know, smallpox arrived in Spain and Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And during the pandemic, I was hearing words that I've heard before, like herd immunity, inoculation.
Mm-hmm.
But the inoculations came to the United States, to the settlements, with one guy that was involved with the Salem witch trial, Mather. What was his name? Cotton Mather. And Cotton Mather learned about inoculation from one of his slaves he had from West Africa. And I think he was Nigerian. They don't know because his name was Onsemus was his name. And they was practicing those type of things, that type of treatment in Africa, of course, which is basically exposing yourself to what it is that's trying to kill you. It's inoculation. Mm. They would kind of put a little slit in your arm or something like that, and they would take some remnants of somebody who had died from that, whether skin or whatever, and, you know, put that on as a paste. And that's what they done to the revolutionary soldiers here in the United States, in America, in the early 1700s, all the way up to just about the sign of the Constitution when they was fighting the British and that, because the smallpox was wiping them out.
Mm.
And then when they would do that procedure, they would put they would have to be quarantined, because if you let them out, they shedding, and that shedding would affect other people and kill them until the quarantine period was over.
Hmm.
It's something else, the history of these things that you never learn anything about.
They never tell you anything about it. But I query this number, don't you, Bianchi? This 29,400 people, this is what they say. The CDC said that more than 29,400 people died from antibacterial resistant infections during the first year of the pandemic, and that of those, nearly 40% had acquired the infection in hospital. That is a very damning paragraph.
Well, I tell you what you can catch in hospitals.
Oh, yeah.
What you come out with is a whole lot worse than what you went in there to be treated for.
Oh, yeah. Staph infection killed one of my he was like an adopted type of brother. One of my close friends, her brother, went in for one thing, and then he ended up catching a staph infection in there, and then he passed away of that. That's what killed him. But I think when I look at these numbers from the CDC, I remember how even people who were riding down the road on a motorcycle who perished in a motorcycle accident were immediately shoveled to the right and been stamped on the bottom of their foot with as being a COVID patient. So when I look at these 29,400 that they've now conveniently exegeted out of that number, it makes me wonder, were those 29,400 counted in that number? Well, most assuredly they were, because if you remember, the CDC edited their numbers not long ago to reflect what they considered the true number of deaths that were from the COVID-19 and then other things. They claimed that there were some accidents. But they go on to say that drug resistance occurs with the overuse of antibiotics and other antimicrobials, which allow some bacteria, as you just stated, to evolve, okay? But it's in a different direction. This evolves into superbugs that are not affected by the medicines. There has long been an acute need for the ability of new antibiotics to help combat these resistant bacteria, but there is little incentive among drug makers, as antibiotics are not especially profitable and overuse must be discouraged, keeping the sales down. It's all about the money. They go on to say that almost 80% of the hospitalized patients with COVID received an antibiotic, even though they are not useful for viral infections. Well, I guess that's a way to make sure that your insurance pays what they tell them to pay and then some. It goes on to say that because of the difficulty in distinguishing COVID-19 from pneumonia when patients first arrive at the hospital, this is the reason why they shovel you full of antibiotics. And these are the people that went to school that apparently are in the know when it comes to medicine. Between 2012 and 2017, deaths due to antimicrobial resistance fell 18% overall, according to a 2019 CDC report. The last year, comprehensive health care and community data were available. Historic gains made on antibiotic stewardship were reversed as antibiotics were often the first option. This comes from Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director. This is what she said in the report. The World Health Organization separately on Tuesday released a report identifying 61 vaccine candidates it said should have developed to prevent disease and help control the bacterial infections and antibiotic overuse that leads to antimicrobial resistance. The WHO said that 1.27 million deaths are due to antimicrobial resistance each year. These folks really slay me. They really do. They're hilarious. The CDC report said that antibiotic prescriptions can be appropriate when risks for bacterial or fungal infections are unknown, but that it puts patients at risk for side effects and creates a pathway for resistance to develop. Now, we got it. Okay, you guys are now clearing your conscience. That's the reason why you're putting this out now, because you and I both know that 29,400 people, CDC, you know you added those people to the reindeer games. That's what you did. You put them there. You put them there.
Well, you know, when you look at the death, very few people died from the disease. They died from them damn vaccinations and what's being put into the body. And quite naturally, it's going to be true of a super bug. Heck, if you overcome all that, you got to be super. And you want, there's one thing that goes on in the real world in entertainment that can kind of shed light on what all you have seen, and that's Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Star Trek, they run up against the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
And the Borg, those humanoids, whatever you want to call them, whenever you shot one with the phaser, you kill them. But the Nexus that come, you shoot them with the same phaser, same level, it doesn't do anything to them. Why? Because they develop an immunity to that which killed the one before them. Next time you see a Star Trek
I'm a Trekkie. I'm a Trekkie. Yeah, I'm a Trekkie.
Yeah, well, you know about the Borg.
Yeah, yeah. I love Discovery. Now, a lot of people say, I can't stand that one, but I love Discovery. I love anything science fiction. Bianca, you can pretty much find me with popcorn in hand sitting right there at the front of the screen. I mean, really, really close. It's probably why I have bad eyes now, because when I was a kid, I was really, really close. Anything dealing with it, I love it. Specifically, Star Trek. Kapok. I'm even holding my hand.
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth to that stuff, Felicia. All these people can't be lying. I mean, from everything, from the Sasquatch to Bigfoot sightings, and
Rougarou.
People look at old photographs and goodness, look at this person standing over here. Look like they using a. This is a 1920s photograph. He look like he's using a cell phone. Is he a time traveler?
Anything the mind can imagine, I'm an avid believer that anything that human's mind can think can be accomplished. Now, before we end the show today, I want to make sure that we give our condolences to the Trump family, as Ivana Trump is dead now at the age of 73. The ex-wife of former President Donald Trump is dead at the age of 73. Ivana Trump died at her home in New York on Thursday. According to the police report, authorities received a 911 call after she was found unconscious and unresponsive. Police do not suspect any foul play in her death. Ivana Trump was the mother of three of the former president's children. She was raised in Czechoslovakia before moving to the United States and eventually marrying Donald Trump. the two became a force in the business world, primarily focused on a number of real estate projects. The pair divorced in 1982, sharing parenting duties of Donald Jr., Ivanka, and Eric. After the divorce, Ivana Trump married and divorced twice more. She reportedly walked away from her marriage with Donald Trump with about $14 million and a mansion located in Greenwich, Connecticut. So we want to, you know, give our condolences to her. Don't want to talk bad about nobody, but, you know, we just want to say, hey, you know what, condolences to the family. Also, we wanted to look at the Secret Service putting their hands in some of the text messages that were related to January 6th. A letter provided to the January 6th House Select Committee indicates that the U.S. Secret Service erased text messages from the day of the insurrection and the day prior. However, I'm going to take a pause from the story. When I did placing, I used to place people who did forensics with computers and cell phones. And even though something was deleted, they were able to find the deleted. Huh. So I'm going to put a pencil there and continue with their story. It says the messages were allegedly erased after they were requested by the officials investigating how the government agencies responded to the riots at the U.S. Capitol. The Department of Homeland Security said that the messages were erased as a part of an agency's device replacement program. I don't understand how you would do that, but okay. They want us to believe that they're uber dumb, but they're not. They go on to say that it's not known if the text messages were erased intentionally or if it were by oversight. The Secret Service has been under scrutiny since witnesses in front of the panel detailed how Trump demanded that his detail transport him to the Capitol after he finished his rally speech at the Ellipse during the day of the riot. So that'll do it for us here. I thank each and every one of you for listening. Whether you are here or you are listening by the replay, you are what makes us keep going. So we appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And please remember what we always say on any Felicia Lockhart Group publications, and that is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Most High. You guys take care of yourselves first, and then take care of everybody else around you, because you can't do nothing for them if you ain't okay. Okay? All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Lockhart Radio.